suggest that, well, there's two questions. One is whether we have a right to elect our own officers to put in place.
There was a letter sent to, by the assistant commissioner to, Bill Wilson and Mr. Frank Klein and all the other two individuals. But, he was requesting that maybe the committee, the bylaw committee, could, sit down with him to go over some of these points. And I think that would be a good place to start by checking out question marks on the areas that we want to get clarification.
Yes.
Would it go either way? Is that what?
I would doubt that he would say,
but by having a meeting, though, we can at least get a more clarity as to where he's coming from in terms of bringing it to the door. Can I suggest then that the committee set up that meeting with the assistant commissioner to clarify some of these points? It may help to kind of deal with the rest of these things. So we proceed on and then bring up the alternative.
And also,
some changes.
So eliminate that note, huh?
Should we take that out of the...
Yeah.
About the notice of the meeting?
Yeah.
Simply all members, huh?
I'd suggest that on that section three, that notice of meetings, if they add an agenda, or something that suggests that whatever agenda items are known, time of the meeting is announced, that be set out again.
The what now?
Jay?
The agenda.
Tentative agenda, yeah, that'd be a good idea, tentative agenda.
Notice of meetings and tentative agenda.
Tentative agenda.
Is that it for section six?
There's no provision for notice of committee meetings.
The chairman, normal procedure.
I think the only thing I've got so far is to appoint committees, you know, and then try to get them together, but after that, I don't know what happens. They can meet when they want to, like, for instance, the bylaw committee, you don't want to meet with the commissioner of administration.
That's usually the chairman of...
And, you know, to have 3 days and then have some great big thing that has to get out in preparation for that meeting. You can always come on and do business, so that...
Oh, I'm not suggesting, I agree with the notification 2 weeks ahead of time. What I'm talking about is then somebody is asked, let the staff person respond to them and say yes or no.
Oh.
That's wrong.
And along with one week Friday or 1 week or whatever.
Friday meeting, yeah.
Have you agreed with how many days? 3 days?
Three.
3 days before the next meeting?
How do you know? I go with your suggestion, whatever the days, you know, whether it's 3 or a week or something, but I would like to put it, I would like to see the wording this way. Within 3 days,
from the request.
3 days from the day that they requested it formally. Or a week or whatever, you know. But I mean, I think that time has to be calculated from the time the request was made to the time the response was made on the request.
Within the week of the request.
Whatever, yeah.
Section seven. Nothing in section seven. What about new membership? Take care of that.
So we are inserting all that from the login.
That's right, that's right. Okay. Okay, what we're supposed to do with this is have the Migrant Affairs Office type it up, get it back to us, just review it.
Mr. Chairman, the committee is going to meet with the Assistant Commissioner to go over some clarification points.
Right.
At that time, we can draft up whatever the clarifications are, type them up, and send them out for the next meeting to have input and rectify.
And we'll go over again the next task force meeting.
Sure.
We need a motion to any of this.
No.
If possible, you'll get these to it before the meeting.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, just a point of information that the Governor's Mental Office approved and funded a project, Emergency Health Needs, for the Minnesota Migrant Council for the months of April. And right now, as you know, they're in the process of working with an emergency type of assistance program that may or may not be approved, but it's in the making. The same thing with migrants in action, but just as a point of information for everybody concerned with migrants, working on that.
Thank you, Roger.
this is new, a new.
Always the extended grant?
Pardon?
The extended grant?
Which one? One was, the one for emergency house was for a little under $5,000 for the month of April, because of Minnesota Medical Council. And this, by the way, was done in consultation with Minnesota Migrant Health Services. They were working together on this. And with their was conference with them and their group. And the other one, that was good for the month of April, because with the Minnesota Migrant Health Service, they're not out of money for the month of April. They would not be funded until the month of May. The other one was just for emergency kinds of needs, transportation, emergency food, like food stamps. And that was in the amount of, the proposal was written around $15,000.
Is that for the whole season?
Yes, that's to cover the season.
That went also to an
Also, yes, well, that one hasn't been decided upon yet. It has been suspended and it's under consideration.
Mr. Chairman, just to the point, and you might mention this to Mr. Peterson, it just seems to me, now this, I don't want to get into all the red tape, but it seems to me that if the purpose of that under $5,000 grant was for, because migrant health was not funded to May 1st, I'll never be able to understand what explanation you want to give me. Why it was given to Minnesota Migrant Council, not Minnesota Migrant Health, if that's what the purpose was for. If it's emergency fund to cover everything, then you shouldn't say it was put in there for that reason. I don't care what explanation, I'm just saying I question the administration if that kind of thing was. You know.
Yeah, but I guess it does require an answer. At the time that this was being considered, I contacted Angela Davis, Executive Director of Minnesota Migrant Health Service. And I gave her an option either way, and it didn't make any difference to her which way it went.
At that time, we didn't think that we would have staff in the field.
Right, that was the reason. The main reason was that they did not have staff in the field in all of town. This was in March, sometime in March when we had this discussion. And that's the reason for deciding to go ahead and go through the Minnesota Migrant Council. They have staff.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman, can we move quickly on to the next item?
Right.
Because we're already late, far behind schedule.
Okay, George, can you give us a little bit on the early arrival of migrants, maybe just a few minutes on this?
I want to know about the project.
Data compiling that you're doing also?
Yeah.
We got, we received a letter from Roberto to the effect that the migrants' early arrival could be a problem. There's a combination of two forces, in effect. One of them is the delayed planting season, and the other one is the early Memorial Day weekend. Traditional departure time is Memorial Day weekend for the migrants. School is out. That doesn't appear to be any different this year. And Roberto was calling attention to these two factors working together and what indeed could be done by Department of Employment Services to answer this. We did several things. One, we wrote the agricultural managers of each of the three beet cooperatives. And we laid it right on their own communication system. We figured the primary source of alleviation was going to be with the farmers talking directly to the migrants and trying to deter them from arriving until that point in time in which that farmer's fields were going to be ready. We asked that each of these ag managers also tell us what plans, what steps they were taking, as well as that, so that we could coordinate that with other activities. We generated a news release. I haven't seen it in any of the papers. I have copies here that we can pass around.
Okay.
and extra copies of that have been sent to Texas Employment Commission with a request that perhaps they could do something similar down there. Neither TEC nor the Minnesota Employment Service have any true authority here to say something should be done or should not be done. So we simply asked them to do what they could. Then we undertook to publicize this problem with our own in-house bulletin, the Rural Forum. That's going to a number of sources, including news media throughout the beet growing area, and to places outside of the state, other employment services, et cetera. We hope that that information will hit the migrants indirectly, as well as the people who deal with them directly, and that they'll get the word not to come up as that too awfully soon. And then finally, we're using the Department of Labor's communication system to put the word out directly to all state employment services in the central states to let people know that things are a little behind schedule in Minnesota, that if they get any inquiries that they should cast a little doubt on the earliness of work. I think we've covered most of the options we have available, and there's no way to measure the effect now, Roberto, until the end of May.
I'm interested about the project. Where is it now in terms of the data gathering?
Second item, yeah. We, at the last meeting, I talked about our plans to set up a data collection system. The programming is complete. I think at this stage, all form designs are complete. We're having not unpredictable troubles getting certain things printed. Staff has been selected, and Jay, we've learned long ago to operate on a contract basis so that we don't get into the civil service troubles. We have staff coming, and most of them will be experienced people. Our training program hasn't been designed. We'll be asking your help on that. But we're waiting for some of the last forms printings before we actually lay out the training program. North Dakota will participate with us in the project so that the data covered, the people covered will be all of the migrants in Minnesota as well as the Red River, the North Dakota side of the Red River Valley. North Dakota is still not certain whether they want to include migrants out in the Williston area. I guess that doesn't make any difference to this group. I have presented the same information to the North Dakota equivalent of this group, and hoping for some money from them.
Is there any way to gauge what's going on now in the Minnesota Department in terms of, because of the weather and so forth?
The southern part of Minnesota?
Yeah.
Well, I think Wayne could probably tell you the best, but yeah, Wayne has the whole action right now, and you're, what, 2 weeks behind?
See, what I'm concerned, the reason I kept tabs on the weather is because we knew we had people coming at a certain date, and I was wondering if we did get that amount of people to come up, what was the situation? If people
in Owatonna had not getting
that area.
All right, employment service people met with Wayne, and I don't remember how many other people were in the group, to see what special assistance we might be able to provide. The people have gotten some work, and we were looking into the possibility of them being able to collect what we call special unemployment assistance. Apparently, this will not be appropriate. Apparently, they've earned enough so that they wouldn't be eligible for any significant amount under SUA. Now they're working full time, I'm sure.
You're sure?
Well, the weather's good.
You put your own foot on to me.
No, the reason, and it will tie in with my part of my concerns, is, and that's why I was asking the questions, was when I speak on it, you'll see where I was. But when will they start?
the date of the data gathering project.
Yeah, because we
will be we'll be putting out our first printout about the end of the first week in June.
Thank you, Judge. Roberto, I'll give you the last one.
Yes, I have the last one, and I'm going to make it very short. Very short. In the past week, I've had meetings with commissioners, not all of them, but quite a few of them, in trying to do several things. Number one, introduce the primary liaison of our office to the agency, which gives me an opportunity to introduce two new members of our staff. Raul Perez, who's been manually working the tape recorder because it busted on us, came on board in April. And he is a liaison, community liaison officer with some activities in data gathering or data analysis. We got a person through the public employment program, Joe Garza, who's become the number one Chicano draft artist in maps and so forth. I mean, you go into my office, you're going to be hit by maps all over the walls. I mean, it covers the dirty paint and everything, which is good. What we wanted to do, and this relates to my one primary concern that I have expressed with the different commissioners, is that we like data, accurate, reliable data. And I can, and that's an ideal. Accurate, how accurate will we get? We don't know until we start shooting for the moon and then fall short. We want to be able to do what Indiana did, not because they did it real good, but maybe we can beat them. At that same kind of data gathering. They came out with a civil rights report, a profile of the migrant situation in Indiana. In a map, they could identify how many camps existed in Indiana. They were able to state if all the camps were utilized, how many migrants would be coming to Indiana, and then show how many actually were being used. And so therefore, how many migrants were coming to Indiana, which showed a decrease of 50%, and they explained why, mechanization, et cetera, some of these items. We went through a list, well, not we, Joe did, went through a list of, I don't know, gobs and gobs of data concerning growers and camps. And what he wants to do is do the plotting, you know, in this area, so many camps. Hopefully that will facilitate helping OSHA, facilitate manpower services. That's our hope. Number two, we're going to identify using the data, the first estimate of 10,000 we've been able to plot, where we're going to need to do some site visits so that we can get our manpower to making sure that we are getting there and helping you out collect that specific data. Why? Because if we look at the state of Indiana, and if we assume that the migrants that come to Minnesota are primarily from Texas, Indiana also receives the majority of the migrants from Texas. And if the decrease in migrant need in Indiana continues to go down, you know, down, well, word of mouth in Texas will be that Randville has more jobs. That may affect us on the number of freewheelers. We're going to have to be able to document how many came up here with jobs, how many were freewheelers. That's a potential. That means cooperating with all the agencies. If we're going to get the data, we're going to have to cooperate. So concern number one, the cooperation, that I get the feedback, who's where and what. Up to date. We'll make our effort to keep on top of the agencies. Not on top, but follow up on them.
Even the first time.
But the other item that's also of concern to me is the lack of cooperation in legislation. If we are to meet the mandate of the Executive Order 92, the states that we will come up in conjunction with the task force, with the Minnesota Migrant Plan, state plan, then we
as a body and as a staff to that advisory body, we'll have to work very hard and together in trying to document the type of legislation that should be proposed. Because my report, my document, should get at the needs and thereby setting some recommendations that we will all be able to agree on, hopefully, so that together, private agencies, state agencies, and our office will go hand in hand to the legislature. Several cases in point, why that's a big concern. Like I said, I just found out of a bill, and it was through a letter of employment services they had for migrant insurance. And the letter stated that they wanted labor and industry to take over that responsibility. I didn't even know what the bill was all about. So I started checking up. Thank goodness, it's too late to be heard, and we have time to do some homework. But the other case was the health.
Your office didn't know about that.
Yeah, but we never got a copy. See, this is the kind of thing. We met with the different groups that we thought we should be touching base with. And we got a commitment to get copies of bills, of the bills that we're going to introduce. And at that time, we didn't have sponsors to certain bills. We didn't know when we would get them. And so we figured, okay, they'll know, and they'll let us know who's going to be the sponsor so we can touch base. Never came about. So when we found out, it was when I was sitting in my in the office with the assistant commissioner, and the hearing was going on, you know, that kind of stuff, which put me in a predicament, because then he said, didn't you know about it? Well, of course, I have to say no. So we're willing to be there and to testify, but we won't testify unless we're asked to. If the sponsoring agent or representative or senator and group who wants to voice it does not want us to speak, we won't speak. Because we don't want to overstep some strategies that might have gone before. However, we're willing to work from the beginning, you know, and push it. That's the purpose of this office, I think. And I would hope it is. So legislation is very important. We've got to think about that. I said, when the subcommittee of health, we started talking about legislation. And that's what I want this task force to be, is one that will work and say, maybe this is the legislation we need. And document, get the data, get the information, start doing that. We'll do the legwork with the help of some of you, but we need to work together, or else somebody's always going to be missing pieces of information. That's the second concern. The third concern is that the weather situation. I never was so hung up on weather reports when I started noticing the rains and all this nonsense, and I stayed up watching every news broadcast to see if there was a change. So when I got the letter from Employment Services asking what our recommendations were, I had already said it in my mind. Why have migrants come up here if there's no job? Even though we have a project in welfare department with temporary help, we still putting too much injustice on the worker, hoping that he'll have a job and maybe not qualify for food stamps or whatever. And acknowledging the fact that we did not have emergency food money, we would put it a strain. So my recommendations were very simple. Get the word out, you know, contact the growers. I can realize why the growers would want to have the hands there. If the thing changes right now and it looks good, he'll need the hands to get out there in the field. So I understand that. But maybe we don't need that many hands. So, you know, let's put a stop. And let's use the welfare department temporary help project to the fullest extent. And that was my two recommendations. We're going to need to document, if we can deal with an emergency situation and be able to document what's happening, then we have a mechanism to deal with an easygoing project. And I think this is the testing ground. And I think that I'm depending on all of you, like my staff is depending on all of you, to cooperate, and we will cooperate. I mean, we'll be there to sit down 2 or 3 hours just to accomplish what we need to accomplish.
So those are my three biggest concerns, and I would hope that you feel like I do, that we need to produce a good document by the end of this year. Whether we exist next year is irrelevant. The fact that a document will exist is what is important to us in the Migrant Affairs Office. Questions? Yes. I'm on my staff person.
I'd just like to say that, the whole reason that the office was created and the task force was created was hopefully to alleviate some of the things that had gone on in the past, namely the lack of coordination. And I think it's not so much, I think it's really relevant at this point to talk about, we knew about the bill, we didn't know about the bill, it was your fault, it was my fault, I don't, you know, that's, I think what we're all about is trying to establish mechanisms, channels of communication so that next year, next legislative session, whether it's next year or 2 years from now, I don't know when that comes, that we have a way of establishing a structure and a mechanism so we can avoid getting into those kinds of things where we can say, well, you didn't tell me, how come you didn't tell me? I think that's what our office is doing, and if we sound like we're frustrated, it's probably because we are. Frustrating to coordinate something, you know, when the migrants are already here.
And migrants fit into a total picture. They don't, they're not the ones, I don't look at migrants just in the 14-week period, because we have a resettlement out project. And we've had that for a long time, even before Migrants in Action existed. Why? Because we know that now that in St. Paul, in the east side, there's a high need for educational projects because of the resettlement program that has existed. And so we are going to try to look at all of the things that relate specifically to the 14-week migrant and also to the total picture of the resettled out migrant and permanent Spanish-speaking population. That's our whole emphasis. We can't make a recommendation with half information. And I don't feel like that's what we want. Maybe I'm wrong, but questions? Yes,
sister?
I have a couple of reactions to report. I think that if I count it right, you only have staff of 5. And I think for you to try to accomplish some of the outreach things that you spoke of would be a mistake. And I think that if you can be in closer contact with the agencies that have the outreach workers out there and get them to do the things that you're looking to get done, and that they're out there collecting the kind of statistics or data that you want, I think that you'll just run yourself out trying to duplicate some of the field work that's already kind of organized. And I think unless I misunderstood you, I think I heard you say that you would go to legislative hearings if you were invited. And if that bothers me, I think that that's probably your primary thing. At least I look on legislation as one of the top things that you should be worrying about.
Yeah.
And I would say that it isn't necessary. I mean, being over there during the time it's in session is important, but I think during this interim time, when they're not all bogged down in their offices, is also a time that maybe the outreach work that you do should be with those legislators during this off season. It's my understanding that none of the migrant bills that were in the legislation have actually been killed, but they're just hanging.
Well, one was.
Okay, but one out of how many? But the majority are definitely, maybe one is killed. Okay, I understood none of them were. But whatever it is, there's a situation where many of them are just hanging. Okay, I think now is the time then to be making the contacts.
Right, and just to clarify, I don't mean that we won't go to the legislative hearings unless we're invited. I guess what we're saying, we'll be there. If someone calls on us and says, speak at the moment's notice, but we want to know about the bill. We want to be able to do our homework. We'll be there in body. Whether we speak or not, we'll be there ready to move whenever they want us. I like to be able to approach, and that's why I have Joe working on all these maps. I think that if we can show legislators what we're talking about versus just talking about it, show them through maps and data and let them have it way before the hearing, we'll have a plus factor in our side to prove our point. And this will again come through the cooperation of growers and everybody involved. So that it's not no longer one versus the other, you know, them and we, you know, kind of situation. So that's our, yes, we see that as our responsibility to be on top of the legislative process. And we want to do that because
I doubt very much whether we can change anything unless we go through the legislative situation.
And I realize that several issues can be in committee at the same time, that one person couldn't be assigned. But I think that every day during the session, you could run over and find out the calendar of hearings and know for yourself and not wait to be invited to the audit.
Ron?
Mr. Chairman, I can appreciate Roberto's concern. And what I'd like to do is to offer, you know, the assistance of my office. And we're currently tracking legislation, several pieces of legislation. And also the legislation as it relates to my program. And here to again, we could be of assistance there. And of course, as you all know, both the House and Senate publishes a calendar of activities every afternoon for the next day. And this is a source that we can refer yourself to.
But thank you, yeah. You are aware of that, and we keep up as much as we can. Okay. So.
Okay. Thank you, Roger.
Yeah. One last point. You know, I heard about the universities willing to provide us with manpower. The only problem is our office is too small. If we get interns to help us out, we gotta hang them on the ceiling. I mean, really. I mean, I'm sharing my office with Joe because there's no room. I mean, we don't have a budget that's glorious, but I mean, we at least should have room, right? That's another concern, space. I'm a true Chicano, I need room. That's
any more new business?
I have a concern, and I think it's something that the task force could act on. Back to the old problem of spirit is willing, but money is lacking. There are areas of the state that our organization does not serve where there are migrants, and no agency serves them. Okay, it isn't that there are, you know, someone else to pick up the pieces. And I'm very much concerned about this. Not that I particularly care who serves them, but as long as, you know, they are served with health services we're talking about. And one of the problems is convincing two groups of people, first of all, Congress, to appropriate enough money, and secondly, Washington, that the need is in Minnesota, when we're talking about the breakdown between regions 5 and 6 and so forth. Okay, we've got to show that the need is there. And I think one thing we have to do is document that there are areas that are not served and get that in the same way that we did acting on an emergency mind that Ron was talking about, that we get that information to the right people, which would be our congressional delegation and HEW Washington, and for Chicago. And I think that the task force should express its concern about those areas not currently served because of lack of funding.
Would it be possible to have Ann and the staff put together a letter that identifies those areas that are not served and send such a letter from the chairman? Would that be appropriate? That we make a resolution that would authorize the expression of our concerns? But I think we should document in the letter what the areas are.
Would
that be appropriate?
Also move. Why don't you make your resolution?
Make it again?
Yes, please.
That we develop a letter to the congressional delegation and the HEW identifying areas that are going without health services and recommending that they increase the appropriations so that those areas can be served.
Second? Dr. McAllister. Any discussion?
Are we limiting it to health services, or is that the objective?
Well, this particular thing, I think that was just happening.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
opposed? Motion carried and so ordered. Any more new business?
Could I add a point of information? Sorry, I was late this morning. We discussed the Breckenridge Social Service Center on this sheet that had comments. And under it, you have the different agencies participating. I think there's one left out, and that is Catholic Charities of the Diocese of St. Cloud. Really, they had a lot of input into the center, and it funds two of the workers for the center, does a lot of the research for the migrant service directory. So I just think that that should be included too.
You apologize.
One last announcement. For those that are private sector members, please don't forget to give the receipts. You got to attach that to the form that you signed. Receipts, very important. Like mileage or airline ticket or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sorry that we're leaving so late today. I'll try to be a little more prompt next time, getting out of here on time. Look for a motion to adjourn. Right,